We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler, butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us. May 15th, 2017. Don't follow us on Twitter at Zardcast. Don't subscribe on iTunes. The podcast is over. It's after tonight. We're canceling the show. It's been decided. Wiz go down 105 to 115 in game seven. And yeah, we're going to scrap it out here for a couple minutes and get into things. The laughter you heard, David Keffer refused to come over after the game seven loss. How you doing over there, man?
Have you ever seen the movie Requiem for a Dream?
Yes.
You know, at the very end when Marlon Wayans is laying in that prison bed with his arm amputated?
Yeah.
Like a little worse than that.
Wow. Strong image. Gary Jones, can you relate?
Yeah. Have you guys seen Requiem for a Dream? Is that a yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
All right. You remember after Jennifer Connelly, you know, gets to her low point and has to do unspeakable acts to get money for drugs?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like a little bit worse than that.
Nice. I'm sorry, I don't have a funny Requiem for a Dream thing to throw out there, but... Yeah, boys, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad right now. Here's our plan. We're going to chat for a couple minutes here. We're going to reconvene either tomorrow or the day after once the wounds, you know, they at least like solidify, like not even like scar tissue over anything, just like a basic scab.
The like white kind of soft scab.
Mm-hmm. Like you can break it if you touch it, but like at least there's not blood shooting out everywhere. So we'll look at like big picture postseason stuff. You know, in the next iteration of this, all this will be on Dash. So there'll be like a large, like two-part episode, I guess. But for now, we'll just do an instant reaction. And then actually, we're probably going to take a break next week. And then the week after that is when we'll do our end of year Zard party, which after tonight, the Wizard season's over. What's our total count at, Gary, for the end of season Zard party?
Played 13 playoff games times
12 minutes.
12 minutes. Got 156 minutes. 2 hours, 36 minutes. We got a pod.
That's that's going to be a task.
We can do it.
It'll be fun, though.
That's good. That's like the length of a...
Interstellar.
Like a substantial movie. Yeah, like a... Like they'll let Scorsese or Christopher Nolan make a 156-minute movie. So, that seems fair.
We did get a comment on a recent pod, and they were like, "Dave is the Scorsese of Wizards podcasting," so it only makes sense.
Well, we got like 10 or 11 comments that said that, right?
Yeah, they flood in. You know, they're always like, "You know what? He's got a little Scorsese in him. Can't deny it." All right. Well, I guess I'll kill the music at this point. God, that's depressing. So you guys, we got some things to talk about here. The Washington Wizards season is over. Hands of the Boston Celtics game seven. The Wiz, the last two times they made the playoffs, they bowed out in a game six. Both of them fairly unconvincing, one for different reasons than the other. The Hawks game, you had the Hawks series, you had John Wall. The broken hand, Pacers, you know, that was 4 years ago at this point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was just them not looking very good. But This was, you know, as tightly as contested of a series as you could possibly imagine. I mean, these teams, none of them, neither one of them lost on their home court. And there was a little bit there in the third quarter where I had, for the first time, I think for the whole series, where in my stomach, I was like, hey, they might win this. They had about a 6 or 7 point lead at that point, but unfortunately, it was for naught, because here we are.
Yeah, well, they led by 2 at half when they had played pretty poorly in the first half, which you can always, anytime a team is in that scenario, you can take both positive and negatives from it. The positive being they played really bad and were up 2, so all they got to do is make some minor improvements and they'd have a good shot. And it looked at first in the third quarter like that was happening. They stayed even for a little bit and then did get a small lead. And then Celtics just finished the third quarter in a flurry. And
which at the time I was like, you know what? That was going to happen. Like, you know, they're going to get a big push at home like this. Like, I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That shook me, the end of the third.
And then yeah, I didn't think it was okay from that point on. When they put Smith and Mahinmi out there, immediately gave up that 3 to Thomas, and they gave up back-to-back threes, I think. It was like a 13-3 run, maybe, and that was it, really. That was the whole game, that little stretch right there, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, there was it all season long we've had, you know, issues with not getting good backup play from the big man, or Gortat might not have a good game, but Smith is okay. It was a really unfortunate time for Gortat to have a pretty poor game, along with Mahinmi being completely, you know, pretty much useless. And then Smith just, they didn't even play him. So, and it's not like Morris was like destroying people. He had a few good moments and a few pretty bad ones. So you basically had no one at the 4 or 5 really producing anything for the whole game, which is not good.
Well, I think, it's easy in hindsight to second guess it, but I don't think anybody, I think it was, there was either Gortat or Mahinmi out there basically the entire game. And Mahinmi was very obviously ineffective from like the minute he came out. He had like, he fouled like every other minute he was on the floor. And then they finally brought out Smith and played him next to Mahinmi, which I don't understand. I think you could have tried to go Smith at center if he's matching up with Olynyk instead of both of them. And that was a disaster.
Yeah, or try something, maybe if you wanted to get Gortat some rest, try to run Morris at 5 and Bogdanovich at 4, or, I mean, they've barely done this in recent weeks, but something where it's Morris at 5, Porter 4, Oubre 3. Oubre never played. Did he play at all, or he checked in like one time?
Yeah, he played like a minute at the end of the first half. I didn't understand that either.
Yeah, that was it.
So they could have tried something like that. I mean, I get not – if you've got like a game plan going into a game 7, which, you know, I'm sure that they had one, it's hard to leave that, especially if you like you were winning at the half. It's not like you were getting crushed or something. So it's got to be hard to adjust from whatever your game plan is in such an important game. But at the same time, like you said, in hindsight, there looks like there could have been some different moves they could have made.
I mean, Gary, you and I, we were like, Jan Mahinmi cannot play in the second half. Like, there's no way. It was painfully obvious to everyone, and I, you know, that was Scott Brooks' game plan, I guess, and he stuck to it. But like, I just can't.
Yeah,
well, understand any world where he comes back out and to play Jason Smith next to him, I think is just just kind of boneheaded, honestly.
Mahinmi's utility is on defense. He's not really an offensive guy,
right?
But then if he's also getting fried on defense, then he's just complete negative out there.
Well, I think the flip side of it is if, and I don't even want to say his name, like he's Voldemort right now, but if Kelly Olynyk doesn't score like 15 points in 4 minutes, you say, oh, that's a great game plan. You make Kelly Olynyk try to beat you, and obviously he can't because he's Kelly Olynyk. But it turned out he did make all of those plays, and he did beat us. So,
yeah, they were. I think that it's one of those, like, they took it. Like, the game plan was clearly make certain guys beat you, and Olynyk was the main guy of that. They were giving him the Tony Allen treatment, except it was, I don't think they really executed that properly. Like, you still don't want to leave a guy totally open in the lane, you know? Like,
right.
I think he missed 4 shots in the game, and they were all threes. He was 10 for 10 on 2-point shots, 2 for 6 from three. And a lot of the 2-pointers were wide open. You know, there was a bunch where he just found, ended up being wide open, like less than 10 feet from the basket. And then in the fourth, hit a couple of threes just to boot, you know. I think you're right that, like, leaving him open, or at least not, you know, prioritizing him was definitely the game plan. But you still have to, like, close out a little bit and pay some attention. You can't just give the guy layups. But certainly painful to have him put up 26.
It hurts so bad. Like, just to watch him do it with his man bun and his beard, like.
Just, and he was every time he hits a shot, they show him backpedaling down the court, smoothing his man bun down.
Oh my god! Like, dude, your hair—it hasn't gone anywhere. We're happy to report.
Usually with a flash to Oubre on the bench too. When he was
They did a lot of that.
Yeah, that was, I was going to ask you guys what hurt most about tonight. I think that's probably got to top the list. I think we could probably slot a couple more things in there, but Kelly Olynyk torching the Wiz, I would say, is one for me. I think probably two. I mean, I hate to pile on here, but either two, you got to give it to Scott Brooks rotations or Martian Gortat no show.
I don't know.
Those would be around the two marker for me. What hurts second worst to you guys? Or maybe the Olynyk thing factors in a little bit further down for you guys.
I think for me, the toughest was seeing Brad finally figure it out 7 games into this series, that he could get basically whatever he wanted. And it was just too late. If he had played like this in 2 other games this series, it would have been over.
Yeah, that's a bummer. He was the highlight of the night for the Wiz, and you know, we saw this. I think when the Wizards played the Celtics back in the regular season for the quote unquote funeral game, you know, Bradley Beal going nuts on Isaiah Thomas and just basically manhandling him, getting to the paint, whatever. And then, I mean, he was pulling up and drilling threes as he pleased. That there's no reason that he shouldn't have done that earlier. And the blueprint was there. So I'm with you, Dave.
I'd also say another painful part of it is John Wall had an amazing playoffs. He had a great series. He had a great season. And he just did start to get, you know, he got a lot of the John Wall has arrived type articles. And, you know, even in this last week, and he hit that big shot, Game 6. But I am already anticipating the nonsense takes because he shot, you know, 8 for 20-something tonight. Definitely didn't have, like, his best game. But, you know, you just can't rely on one guy completely. And you can't put it all on him when they lose. So
that's the one thing I'm definitely not here for at all. And I'm sure it is going to happen. People saying like he disappeared down the stretch, but he was letting Brad go because Brad was taking over. And if he had done anything other than that, people would have been killing him for that. Like that he was taking shots that he, you know, couldn't hit when he should have been giving Brad the ball. So I thought he did exactly what he should have done at the end of this game. I thought he played really well.
Yeah.
He missed some shots, but I thought he played a really good game.
And they're gonna the field goal percentage and 3-point shooting is gonna be misleading too, because like at least like 3 or 4 of those shots were at the very tail end of the game when it was.
And know, he took
not
at
out
least
of reach, but
two, like end of quarter, like 3-quarter court shots.
Right,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's true. Also.
I don't know. I thought he played a good game. I didn't really have any problem with he got lost on defense a couple times, but I didn't really have a problem with anything he did tonight.
I'd say maybe in like if we're getting super nitpicky, maybe in like the 6 to 8 minute range coming down the stretch, the final 6 to 8 minutes, I should say, he jacked up a pair of threes that were just bad, and you know they could have hoped. I would have rather seen him try and work something, you know, rather than him just pulling up and shooting, but you know.
And then
fine on, enough
on the pick and roll D, like throughout the game. I mean, they didn't do it well on,
right?
But I don't know if that's him or the big man or communication or like the game plan, but there was plenty of times where both the Wall and whoever the big was would stick with the guard, and then the ball would get rotated after that, and Celtics scored a ton off of that.
It seems to me like that was the game plan, though, that yeah. You don't want him or you want to give him the ability to like leak out like that. If it wasn't Brooks's game plan, it was definitely Wall's game plan, that he wasn't going to get caught up in the paint on defense and that he was going to be able to get out in front. He pretty much did it all series.
Yeah. Well, then maybe that was a Stevens adjustment, because a lot of those points were coming on the second pass. It would be Wall would jump out top on the screen, Gortat or whoever would follow and help. They'd pass to the top of the key, and then one more pass, and then that shooter would be wide open on the wing. So, you know, that could have been something the Celtics plugged in based on earlier right. play.
Just tough. I mean, the Celts were riding the crowd. You know, this it was so close that, you know, if this game's at in the Verizon Center, like the Wiz probably win it. Like it's, you know, they don't have the Celtics don't get that like 13 point spurt at the end of the third quarter. You know, maybe things are a little bit different. So,
yeah. So what was the playoff record at home? Was
it was
7-0 or 6-0?
No, it was 7-0.
Yeah,
7-0 at home.
1-6 on the road.
Yeah,
it's brutal. I mean, this is honestly when you boil the whole thing down, when you look at tonight and the whole series, like they can't win on the road and the bench sucks, and that's it. That's everything right there. Really, I mean, it's not everything, but in the most simplistic of terms.
Yeah.
Well, I can feel myself turning the corner back toward optimistic, because guess what are not permanent problems with this team? Winning on the road and having a bench. I mean, the last two times we were in the playoffs, we won 2 series on the road, beat the Bulls 3 times on the road, I think, swept the Raptors without home court advantage, and we can ship just about all these guys out on the bench and take another crack at it. So,
yeah, Ernie, he better get working. We'll save the attacks on him for at least for a day or two. But yeah, he better get hustling once this season's over. Because I mean, that was his sole objective last year. I mean, once we whiffed on Al Horford, improve the bench, and yeah, didn't quite happen. But
you'll definitely have to be crafty, because they are like a bunch of contracts that after this season are harder to move than they probably would have been before it. But
right.
That doesn't mean you can't do it. Like any bench player, even with a big contract, is tradable, because some teams are like seeking big contracts. Sometimes they're trying to. I guess maybe not like a 3-4 year one like Mahimi has, but sometimes you need those kind of numbers to match up. So it's not, you can always make those, you can always get rid of those guys if you.
I mean, I think Mahinmi and Smith are the only ones under contract. And Smith's contract is great. He's a steal for $4 million a year.
Yeah. Got Satoransky on like a $3 million contract too.
Oh, right.
Everybody else is
gone, right?
The big thing about this offseason is, I mean, basically they're probably going to have to give Otto Porter a max contract, which is going to tie up all their extra money. So I guess a debate we can have over the offseason, the long offseason, is do you give Otto Porter all that money, or do you, you know, say, hey, like, go get the money elsewhere, and we're going to save that cash and, you know, try and find a new starter and, you know, maybe use it to fill out the bench as well.
This
could have been the last time we saw Otto Porter as a Wizard. That's on the table.
My take on that is that we're going to keep Otto and not pay him a max.
That would be ideal. I mean, you know, we should give him a tip of the cap tonight because he was great. He had 20 and 10, and was really, you know, the spark plug, especially in the first half. He was all over the place, and, you know, but I think overall, if you look at his body work in the playoffs, not worth that max contract.
Well, I think he might have just. A lot of people are saying banged up. I think possibly that, possibly fatigue. True. He had never had a role as big prior to this season and played, you know, I think he played every game, did he?
Yeah.
So he might have just wore down a little bit too.
I think there's a good chance. So his max is going to be close to $25 million a year, something like that.
Right.
So, obviously, Otto is kind of a enigma. I don't think anybody knows Otto very well. Doesn't even have a Twitter account. He's not a very public guy.
He's got an Instagram account.
Does he really seem like the type that's going to go sign a contract to go play for the Nets and be their best player just so he can make $4 million a year? Or that he's like, this is a good spot for me. It's probably never going to get better than playing next to John Wall. And if I can, you know, sign a slightly smaller contract here and stay in a good spot, maybe that'll be good for me.
Yeah, I can see him doing that over the Nets, but there's some other, you know, what if another, like, shitty team but with better future prospects were to offer him something?
Like the Mavs or something? Maybe the Mavs aren't the best example, but...
Mavs, Sixers, I don't think they would do it either, but if they did, he'd be looking at making that max contract and then being on a team that was terrible but has a little more prospects than the Nets.
Who else would give a max contract?
I'm trying to think. I mean, the only thing that I can really think of would be, like, the Lakers, the only, like, real threat.
Lakers, would, like, the Bulls do something like that, or?
I mean, I think the Bulls have their own cap issues.
Yeah, I'm just throwing out.
Yeah, I mean,
a team that would, like, do it, you know, cap notwithstanding.
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously everybody needs a guy like that. But I feel like the only teams that would spend that kind of money are either like total bottom feeders that are just have no other place to put their money, or teams that need like a finishing touch on a contender. So like, I don't think like a 35 win team is going to be like, oh, we'll give Otto Porter a max. That's not a good use of their money. I don't know. I don't really see. I don't think the market is going to be as hot for him among like teams that he would actually want to go play for. I could be totally wrong. Maybe he'll end up on the Nets next year. I don't know.
All it takes though is one team to. I mean, he's a restricted free agent, so
right. But he has to sign it, so yeah. He has to agree to do it. It's not like I mean, he could say, I want to be here, and I don't care about, like, a little bit of money, considering I never thought in my entire life I was going to make $50 million playing in the NBA, much less signing a $100 million contract. So. Right.
Yeah, I mean, if they could get him down to, you know, $20 million, like, that would be huge. Like, that would give him, you know, some cash to work with, which they really wouldn't if he does sign a max deal.
That's just a real tough pitch if you're the Wizards and he's already gotten the max offer from somebody else because they do have the right to match it. So then you got to pitch them on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's 100% predicated on them getting it done before he hits restricted free agency.
Right. And maybe they can. I mean, who knows? Maybe he loves playing with John and Brad and
he seems
Martian.
To be real good friends with Jason Smith, actually.
Yeah.
They always seem to be joking around.
And the Wizards, I mean, obviously it hasn't been with a player of this caliber, but they have a track record of letting those guys go. I mean, they let Ariza go. They let Pierce go. They let Dudley go. They didn't even offer any of them contracts. Mm-hmm. So I think they have some credibility to say, this is what's on the table, and that's what it is.
Good point, Dave.
What about Boyan? What are your thoughts on signing him? And now retroactively looking at that trade.
I think that is, you let the market set the contract there, and then see what it's going to be.
Did they get the first rounder for him?
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah. He's also restricted, so. I don't know. I mean, our team's going to throw a bunch of money at Boyan?
I don't think so.
Nah.
Another offseason, I don't know if you guys saw Donatas Montiunas today. They asked him where he wants to play next year. He said the Warriors, the Spurs, the Jazz, or the Wizards are the teams he's looked at, and also some teams that he knows have some interest in him. So could be an interesting target.
I think he just forgot a lot of the teams in the league and was naming the names he just saw on TV recently.
That's possible.
Well, but I think he's a good player. I feel
like they're benched.
Obviously had some injury issues, so. It's a risk, but I mean, he's really talented. I don't know. There's plenty of good guys out there, and Ernie's obviously botched the bench the last couple years, but
maybe third time's a charm, you guys. Who knows?
I still really don't. And this is probably like an unpopular take, but. I don't really have a problem with, like, the process of any of it. I mean, I could see, like, a really solid rationale behind all of it. It didn't work out.
Right, for sure.
I don't know.
I agree.
I think there's definitely value in going away from what a lot of other teams do. So, like, trading that first-round pick repeatedly, not, like...
Has worked every time.
Right. So, and it's... That's something every team in the league wants first-round picks. You get to the trade deadline or around it, you know you can get a lot for it, and they've gotten pretty good players. So, and they're not particularly high picks. What it is trading, like, high teens? This one will be in the 20s. Like, they're not good picks, so.
If he's not going to make good picks as it is, then
right.
Whatever. Yeah, you're right. I'm not super, at first glance, it's like, oh, Boyan, the first rounder, but, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, the pick that we traded for Boyan will probably not play more than, like, 1,000 minutes in his NBA career.
Yeah, odds are likely. We'll see. I mean, the bench just has to, I mean, whatever Ernie does, like, it can't get any, like, the bench can't get any worse than it was this year, right? Like, they scored 5 points tonight.
Yeah,
five points.
Yeah.
Like,
five.
Like, remember, like, you go all the way back to the game against the Cavs in the middle of the season. The bench scored like 16 points or whatever. And we were like, oh, you know, that ain't bad. You know, throw another 10 on there and we'd be happy. And, you know, that was sad enough. So, you know, the bench only gets 10 or 5 tonight. It literally can't be worse than that. So, you know, you get maybe a whole year of Jan healthy and he's able to score 9 or 10 a game. And, you know, someone else on the bench can average like 8. There you go. You got 18 points, and that's better than where things landed tonight. On bench people, just real quickly, looked up Brandon Jennings on Basketball Reference. First of all, he's barely older than I am, which is a weird feeling. Less like a whole like 3 weeks older than me, and his nickname, the Pterodactyl.
Mm.
That's interesting.
Do you think it's weird? You would have thought he was younger, or you would have thought he was much older than you, or what?
I thought at least like slightly older, but I mean, I guess maybe like a year or two older. Is what I meant to say, but nope, don't know what his contract situation is.
If he, as long as he's not getting paid too much, I'd love to keep him if we could get him into a much smaller minutes per game role.
Because
for everything else, I love him. Love everything about his, you know, jerk demeanor. Mm-hmm. I love that he wrote an article about why Wall should be an MVP like a month after he joined the team, picking up texts on behalf of his like teammates. He is the man. But I don't like that he spends 15 minutes on the floor afraid to shoot, so.
It looks like right now he's got a $1.2 million contract with the Wiz. Well, I think he's an unrestricted free agent.
We're basically just paying
just the rest of the Knicks contract or whatever.
Yeah. Because he got bought out by the Knicks.
Right. So, I mean.
So he's gone.
Well, I mean, unless he wants to stay here, yeah.
As long as we never, oh my God, I don't ever want to see the John Wall, Brandon Jennings lineup ever again. It's so terrible. And we can dive into the intricacies of Scott Brooks's rotations and the failings of those sorts of things, at least for tonight, later on. But yeah, we saw it again tonight and it was bad. Per usual.
I still kind of like Sheldon Mack. And Satoransky. I mean,
yeah,
I wouldn't be super confident with, or like not super, I wouldn't be confident at all with either of them as like the backup point guard going into next year, but I'd be fine with not re-signing Jennings, getting like a kind of more boring, but more sturdy backup and letting Sheldon Mack and Satoransky expand their roles a little bit.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's like the straight up plan either. Like just for, especially for Satoransky to take over. And you know, with Sheldon Mack, like you basically like let him sit on the roster all year to do nothing. So you have to think that they're going to try and develop him a little bit more and we'll definitely keep him around, I guess. I mean, why, what else would you let him just sit, take up a roster spot?
I mean, honestly, Mac, Satoransky, Oubre is probably the fullest the Wizards' cupboard has been with young players in back since we thought Jordan Crawford and Nick Young were going to be good. Like, when was the last time there were some really young guys on the bench that you were like, these guys could be contributors one day? Certainly not in, like, the Wall Beal era, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
You know, and you say that, you know who else we sleep on that is definitely going to play next year? Chris McCullough.
Yeah.
He's 6'11", 200 pounds.
You also, you know, you said Sheldon Mack, they wouldn't have kept him, you know, around all year if he wasn't part of their plans. I feel like same thing with Achefu. Like, yep. Why would they have kept him around unless they think he's gonna give him something?
Because they could have used like an experienced but, you know, borderline useless big man just to fill space and time this year at certain points.
Right. Instead, we just got Achefu in his Blazer T-shirt combo.
He looked good
on the bench every night.
All right, gentlemen. We've been at it for a bit. Let's see. 35 minutes. Wow. Wow. What do you think?
Let's do a little... we did this last series. Let's do a little cathartic name top five Celtics you'd want to see get punched in the face by John Cena. 5-1. I'll go first. Let's see. 5. I'll go Horford. 4. Smart. 3. Actually, no. Let's move those up. 5, plug in whatever. Player X, I don't care. Isaiah Thomas. 4, Horford. 3, Smart. 2, Crowder. And 1, gotta be Olynyk after tonight.
Yeah, 1 Olynyk. 1 Olynyk for sure. Only because of tonight, but 2, Al Horford. He normally has that number one spot for me. First of all, I want to say, should we just go for the full hour since we're already at almost 40 minutes?
It's fine with me.
Should we just go for it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just want to say that I hate Al Horford with, like, the fire of 1,000 suns. Dave, what are you doing over there?
It's crumpling up paper.
Hello?
What are you doing over there? Are you eating some Cracker Jacks or something?
No, you guys are, like, crackling in and out. I can't hear you.
I think you're up to something over there.
I'm not up to anything. I just can't hear you guys.
What are you doing? You making yourself a drink or something?
I was getting a snack, but I totally lost. I guess I lost signal. I walked over there. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, my God. Just professing my hatred for Al Horford. I mean, how much can a guy just dagger you in the playoffs over and over again? Tonight wasn't quite as explicit as it was 2 years ago with the block against Nene and all that. But, I mean, he was cold as ice. I mean, he was drilling threes. He was making, you know, like, heady rebounds. He just infuriates me.
Did you see the thing before you get to the rest of your list? Did you see, so the other night, I guess when the Wizards lost game 5, whatever that was, Wednesday of last week or Tuesday of last week.
Yeah, it was Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday.
So on that same date, May 10th, 2 years ago, the Caps lost a game 7. The Wizards lost game 5 to the Hawks when they were 2-2. And the Nationals won a game come from behind the 9th. All the same 3 results 2 years later. Isn't that weird?
Classic DC. I remember that night because we did what we were doing right now, podcasting right after a loss. And I remember the Caps losing in horrible fashion and former Zardcaster Max being like, did you even watch the Caps? And like, it was on the side screen. We definitely had dual screens up that night.
Schwenk, if you're bitter about Al Horford's successes in life, did you know that he's married to a former Miss Universe?
I didn't.
Yeah, but she's a former Miss Universe.
Not a current title holder. And he's only currently making $26.5 million a year, so
and really, he's a beautiful man. I mean, it's hard to, he has such a, like, and such angelic features. It's hard to be mad at him. Actually, it's pretty easy to be mad at him. But.
Yeah, I know he's handsome, Dave, all right? Like, I get it. God, I think I disavowed him as my favorite player on those Florida title teams at the beginning of the season, so he's further down my list now.
Now who's your guy? Corey
Who
Brewer.
Is it now?
Corey Brewer.
Taureen Green?
I think I declared it Lee Humphreys. and I think I'll stick with Lee Humphreys. But yeah, Corey, and then it's, you know, Corey Brewer, Taureen Green, those guys can interchange, and then Joakim Noah, and then Al Horford down at the bottom.
I don't know how you could ever pick between those two.
I think Maurice Spates was on the second title team. So, you know, maybe he gets the bump up.
He's a fun guy.
Yeah. He definitely gets the bump over Al Horford.
I don't know if you guys listened to our competitor podcast, Locked On, with Jared Dudley, that came out yesterday. But he specifically mentioned Maurice Spates as a guy that would want to come play for the Wizards because John Wall would get him a bunch of shots.
I'd be into that.
I recognize no competitors, but that would be cool.
So yeah, Al Horford, he would occupy my two slot. I think after that, Avery Bradley, I mean, games 5 and 6, you know, he just had a ton of points and so annoying. Like,
he does that little smooch thing every time he scores.
God,
they keep talking about his damn wife on the broadcast. Stop doing that.
They're always like, oh, talk about a guy who's been in the gym and just really, you know, worked on one end of the, he's had the gifts defensively, but he really had to put in the sweat, the time, the effort to get his offensive game down. You're seeing him pay dividends here in the playoffs.
That's really good.
That's my generic broadcast impression of every who did the broadcasting this series. Greg, that's my white man's version of Greg Anthony, I should say.
Greg was getting real fired up on some Celtics tonight.
Dude, he is so annoying.
When he, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but there was a play where Marcus Smart just totally boxed out.
Yeah, and
I remember who it was.
It's a smart play, keeping him away from the ball.
Like, way before the shot went up, and he was like, that's just a great box out. It's like, no, that is just a blatant offensive foul for like 3 straight seconds
he
right
boxed,
in front of the referee.
He boxed out Morris when I think Thomas or Bradley had a layup. And yeah, he said, he was like, that's just a great winning play.
All right, so Greg Anthony is like a footnote on my list here. You guys, this is tough here. I think I gotta go. I'll go Marcus Smart. He wasn't quite as annoying this series, but I just find him generally distasteful. So I'll put him at 4, and then I'll put Isaiah Thomas in the 5 slot. It took me a while to get to there, but that's my 5.
Mm-hmm. You had some detours.
Yeah. Marcus Smart, he'll forever be annoying. And he sucks, so like when he hits a shot, it like especially hurts. When he's like hit an open 3, it's just like, ugh. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was, so when somebody hits an open 3, I can, if you're open and they hit it, I can never get too upset, whether it's Smart or Olynyk, or I kept seeing people, like Celtics people on Twitter, bitching about Wall hit like a really wide open pull up 3 in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. They were tossing.
That was exactly where he hit that game winner.
Yeah. And they were tossing out the Wall. It was like something like, oh, great. Now Wall, the under 30% pull up 3 shooter, is making threes on us. I was like, yeah, well, he had 5 seconds to gather himself and had nobody within 10 feet of him, and he's in the NBA. He might make that shot. There's a pretty good chance he'll make that shot.
He shot 37% from that right corner, or that right section from three in the regular season. So that's like the only place he was decent from three.
Insane. I guess when I'm looking at this list here, huge omission on my part. Jay Crowder might, you know what? Swap out Marcus Smart. Throw Jay Crowder in there. You guys know my history with Jay Crowder. We go back a ways.
High school sweethearts.
Yeah.
Rough breakup.
Beach week was a doozy. I mean, basically, I mean, you guys know how these beach week dramas go. Like, are we together? Are we not? Jay, who are you with right now?
Plus, you were relying on his older sister to get all the beer for your house.
Oh, God.
And then she left.
We had to, hey, Mr. Someone down in Ocean City. You know, so there's a lot. There's a lot that goes into this. And then he's just like annoying in the basketball games as well. So
then he found out that you, for years, had thought his name was Jake Crowder. That didn't go over well.
And we dated too, like, so he never corrected me. Maybe he just thought I was saying his name correctly, and it was weird. It was weird for sure.
And didn't he? So you used to wear your hair like that, and then he grew his out as like to like get under your skin, right? And then you eventually had to take yours off because like you can't both have it.
Classic Jay, just being petty and trying to get under my skin. And yeah, don't let him tell you that was his idea. It was all mine. I was a braided haired beauty. Let me tell you, these long locks. Now they're just silky smooth. I keep them short. So I'm glad, you know what? I'm glad we're doing this, you guys. It's really cathartic.
It's good to vent.
Yeah. So Marcus Smart, he gets honorable mention on my list. Dave, you got a list you want to run down, your top five?
Yeah, should I start at five or one?
Start at three, work your way out.
If I'm going three, I'm definitely going with Brad Stevens.
Nice.
I really hate Brad Stevens.
Could anyone I don't understand. I don't understand Brad Stevens. I loved him at Butler, but then you see him do these, I mean, the inside the huddle thing, they choose the most generic quotes, obviously, but like he is so not inspiring. I don't get it.
Yeah, I just hate his whole shtick. I guess four would probably be Crowder. Two would probably be Olynyk. Five would be Jarebko. And then one would definitely be Avery Bradley. He was the worst all series.
We didn't even see a whole lot of Jarebko there towards the end of the series.
What's that?
We didn't see a whole lot of Jarebko toward the end of the series.
We saw enough of him just on the bench. Don't make me look at him. It's definitely Avery Bradley. The thing that put it over the top today was, did you hear that anecdote that they told about his wife and how she makes him her version of huevos rancheros, which is eggs on French fries?
You know what? I didn't hear that anecdote, but I caught like the end of it. So I just heard them talking about huevos rancheros and missed everything that led up to it. And then they kept referencing huevos rancheros through the broadcast, and I didn't know what they were talking about.
So that's what they said. And they kept talking about his wife. I don't know why, several times. But then they said she makes her kind of huevos rancheros, which is eggs on French fries. And then the one guy goes, well, that sounds more like huevos French fryos. And then the other guy goes, is that even a word? And he goes, well, it is now. And that was like the most they cracked each other up on the broadcast. So that's why they kept talking about it.
You know,
so that's why Avery Bradley's my least favorite, is because I had to listen to that exchange while the Wizards were losing.
It's a good reason. It's good as a reason as any.
I hope Ian Eagle can go far away from Greg Anthony, because he's way too good to be near that black hole suck. My God.
Black hole. I don't know.
I thought they both kind of stunk, and I was also a little offended that that was the crew that they ran out for a game seven.
I guess it's just because that's who they, I mean, that's pretty much who they had on it the whole time. So they're not going to mix it up, but yeah, I'm with you. Would have liked Kevin Harlan on the call.
Yeah. Why not just Kevin Harlan every time? Just pay him enough so he can do all the broadcasts.
Yeah. I'm sure he'd be down with that. He's not going to complain.
And if he did, it would probably be great to listen to.
He just bitched about his contract for like the first 5 minutes of every game.
Oh, this is outrageous. Yeah, that would be great.
I am not getting paid enough to do this game. And there's John Wall in step. All right, gentlemen.
We gotta fill like eight more minutes. Right?
We could do 5 minutes.
All right.
Yeah.
What'd
you end up doing for Mother's Day? You said you were gonna go kayaking. Did that come to pass?
We didn't go kayaking.
Interesting that both kayak and mom are palindromes.
Didn't know that. Probably because I can't read, but. So no kayaking, Dave. Just went to your parents' house.
Yeah, had some brunch. Ate some crepes.
Mm. So much Pat time recently.
I know. It's a lot.
Did Pat make the crepes?
No, we did.
Mm.
Aaron mostly did.
Nice touch.
Schwenk?
I did move things for my mom. Clear out the old storage unit. Probably one of the easier moves I've ever had to do, because we had like a bunch of like flatbed hand truck sort of things. So like you just pull it up to the storage unit, basically, you know, drop the couch or whatever on there, wheel it out to the car, and then throw it in the car, essentially. We had to unload it on the other side as well, but, you know, it's not like Dave and I moving out of our apartment, lugging it all the way down the hallway, down the elevator, and then like to a remote location to where the car is.
Should have just thrown it over the balcony.
It would have been fun. I mean, it was going to the dump eventually, so.
Or you could have created some sort of elaborate pulley system, like something, you know, like window washers would have.
That would have been fun, too. I've always wanted to do that, to bring the couch up, like, on a pulley.
Yeah.
That seems like it'd be easy and exciting. You went to a wedding this weekend.
Yeah. Shout out Delaware Dave and Newark Nicole.
Nice.
Congrats. I don't think either of them listens, but
that's all right.
It's okay.
Can you tell? You were telling me the musical displays.
Oh, it was great.
Sounded unlike anything I'd ever heard or seen about.
So it was a very opulent and fancy and beautiful wedding. But both the bride and groom and like their families and some of their bridal party. Well, I guess not Dave's, but some of hers. Are all like musically talented, mm-hmm. like singers, musicians, dancers and stuff. And so there were just like a whole variety of choreographed dances and songs and stuff like that that was just like scattered throughout the reception. And it was real fun, real nice.
You said the maid of honor speech. She would like talk for a little bit, then like sing over a song.
Yeah, it was like
and talk some more.
Kind of like a show tune, like it kind of reminded me of like in, you know, Beauty and the Beast when Belle's like walking around the town and she's mm-hmm. like kind of describing what she's walking around, but then like would occasionally like turn into singing to the people.
Yeah, we know.
Kind of like that.
That's pretty wild.
It was good.
Right on. Congrats, Delaware Dave. We love all Daves, I'd say.
All of them.
Every last one of them. All right, guys. Well, I think this is... We started at one point. We're like, hey, we'll chat for a few minutes. We'll come back later in the week. We're not going to do that now. We're just going to... We're riding with this. So maybe... So I guess we'll probably still take next week off. I think we should do that. And then we'll come back and do a end of year Zard party.
Yeah, I'm going to be out of town next week anyways.
Okay.
Or through Wednesday. So
where to? Where are you going?
Arizona.
Woo! Arizona Dave. Mm-hmm. Bring back some rattlesnakes.
I don't think they let you take snakes on a plane.
Oh, I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. Okay. End it there. Terrible, terrible. Yeah, so Zardcast is the podcast at Zardcast.
We're finishing this podcast as strongly as the Wizards finished the season.
Jesus Christ. Poor Wizards.
Let me ask you guys something. Were you drinking a lot over there while all of this was happening?
Not a lot. A handful of beers throughout the game.
You guys are smarter than me.
What about you, Dave? How many beers did you have tonight?
A good amount. I don't know. I wasn't really counting, but enough that I'm going to feel even worse about this tomorrow morning.
Well, good. That's how we should all feel a little bit tomorrow morning, I would say.
It's good to have a little pain when the season ends.
Yeah. It was a good ride, though. We'll do a full, this was kind of haphazard and...
It was so...
But, the end of year Zard party is going to be strong. It's going to be almost 3 hours of podcasting, but it'll be fun for sure. So stay tuned for details on that. We'll leave on there on that note for sure. My brain's mush at this point. So Zardcast on Twitter, iTunes, and all that nonsense. But yeah, follow us on Twitter and we'll tell you what happens next. Enjoy your off-season slumber, everyone. That'll do it for us for this playoffs run and for the Washington Wizards 2016-17 season. For my co-host, Gary, Dave, I'm CT. That was Zardcast. Oh, man, I muted it. F***ing A. The last time, you guys. We'll do it. No, I'm pressing it again. It didn't work! Yeah.